Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host Steve Boghetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Hey Terry, well, I'm going to lead off today's episode because of something that happened to a friend of ours this last week. Her 6-year-old Labrador Retriever had a seizure in the middle of the night. To her knowledge, it's the first, but we can never know that. And it was a fairly frightening experience, and I wanted to just talk a little bit about seizures, just to inform our listeners that seizure disorders are not uncommon in dogs.
Yeah, I think it's a good topic to cover. I've never had a dog that's had seizures. I hope never to, but I can imagine I'd be terrified.
It was very scary, and a bit of the backstory to this was, Tootsie, the chocolate lab, as in Tootsie Roll, yes, sleeps in her mom's bedroom with her sister Shay, and that's a black lab. And in the middle of the night, Sue heard one of the dogs get up and start walking around. She thought somebody might need to go out to go potty. Her bedroom door was closed, so she just kind of didn't do anything initially, and it turns out that that was Tootsie, and she was pacing just prior to the seizure, and that seems to be fairly common. So the good thing is Tootsie has a big cushy doggy bed, and she went to that, and that's where she had her seizure. Now, what all we could do was initially watch, and one of the interesting pieces of this is that there are three other dogs, three other labs in the house. And the event did not upset the dogs, only the humans.
It's that I find amazing, because I mean, we've talked about animal behavior and we talk about animal energy sometimes. And I would have thought that a seizure, to me, a seizure would be very disruptive energy. I would have thought the dogs would have reacted to that. I would not have expected just, okay.
And that is exactly what we got was okay. Kind of wandered in, wandered out, made sure they didn't go near her because she was flailing about. Didn't want any, her to get hurt or them to get hurt. But yeah, no response from the dogs, which was amazing. As with many seizures, I understand now, it lasted probably under 2 minutes. It was not as bad a seizure as I've seen a dog have, but for Sue, it was horrible because it was a first time, and it's her dog, and we love them, and we don't want them sick. So, what we did, it was about 1:30 in the morning, and
You missed that eye roll. It was like an old crap.
I promise you, people, this is why, you have to have that emergency vet number in your cell phone because it's oh dark 30, middle of the night, and that's when dogs get sick. Inevitably, they're just like kids. They do it when your vet is not open and you end up going to the emergency vet. So that's what we did. And, well, actually, we called first. And since it was her first, to our knowledge, her first seizure, they said, bring her in. We need to see her. So we took her in. And it was interesting. When she came out of it, she was able to get up and walk around. A little fuzzy, maybe not quite as steady on her feet as normal, but she seemed to come out fairly quickly and be fairly okay. Got to the emergency vet. By the way, I'm going to give him a plug. VRCC in on the outskirts of Richmond, Virginia, is the most phenomenal vet clinic I've ever been in my
It's a
life.
high-tech hospital for dogs.
And it's 24/7, dogs and
Dogs
cats.
and cats, that's right.
And they have amazing vets, specially trained for this kind of work. And they have specialists also. But anyway, we got there. Not surprisingly, we were the only people there at 1:30 in the morning. But they were expecting us, immediately took Tootsie to the back to ICU. And, Sue did filled out the paperwork and all that stuff, asked some questions. What they recommended, and it's what Sue did, was that she leave Tootsie for 24 hours of observation in the ICU, primarily to make sure she didn't have another seizure. Apparently, if they have repeated seizures in a 24-hour period, it's a different level of seizure disorder. Also, if they have cluster seizures, apparently they can have one after another after another. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's a whole nother thing. And so they wanted to keep her for those reasons. And the good news is she did not have another seizure in that 24-hour period. They did blood tests. They did a number of things. But right now we don't know the cause of the seizure. And we're sent home with the instruction to just keep an eye out. And one of the big things, folks, if your dog has a health issue, but specifically this health issue, you need to keep a journal about,
that's a great idea.
Yeah, about every occurrence, its approximate length, what you observe, time of day, day of week, all of that. And what I love was I mentioned that to Sue that it'd be a really good idea to do. And on the take-home instructions for Tootsie, even the vet said the same thing. It helps them in future if there are additional seizures. Again, like with a human having a seizure, just some tips. Don't, for heaven's sakes, put your hand in the mouth of a dog who's having a seizure. You'll get bitten. They do not swallow their tongues. I just read that this morning.
Oh.
So you don't need to worry about that.
Good to know.
Stay away from flailing paws. Now, what the vet did say is there's some hands-on modalities for working with dogs, like Reiki and T-touch, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And Sue asked the vet if she could touch Tootsie when she's having a seizure, if she has another one, and like talk to her in a soothing voice, and she said, yes, you can do that.
That would make perfect sense.
It does.
Yeah.
But it's really cool to have, you know, not a holistic vet, a regular vet, an emergency room vet, say it's okay to do that. Just stay clear of their paws and their legs.
Sure.
And know that part of the seizure can include that they can eliminate.
Right.
They can seem to be blind when they come out of the seizure. So it can look a variety of ways. But the key part is, you know, make that phone call to either your vet or the emergency vet if your dog has a seizure the first go around. And then it's in their records, and, you know, we go from there. Now, one of the things this brought to mind for me is that most of us really don't know what to do in the case of an emergency with our dogs.
Yeah.
We just get on the phone and go, help,
right.
You know, do I bring the dog in or not? One of the things that you can do to prepare yourself for emergencies for your dogs and your cats is to take the Red Cross pet first aid course, and I have taken it. It's been a few years, so I'd really like to retake it. But all you need to do is go to redcross.org and search for your local Red Cross chapter. And just like they give regular first aid classes for people, they do have a pet first aid class. And part of what you get with that class, they have a great book on pet first aid that you can just keep in your home. And it does have a section on seizures, and again, it lists just a few of the things that can cause them. So many things can cause seizures, including tumors, infection within the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, scar tissue on the brain, like if the dog has a head injury. Seizures can be caused by organ failure. And, of course, poisoning. We've talked about toxic substances in the past.
Many times, yeah.
And this book lists some of the things that can cause seizures if it's eaten by dogs and cats. The drugs, we've talked about drugs. Plants, we've talked about those. There are lists of those all over the place. Lead and other heavy metals. Antifreeze and chocolate. So, you know, try to keep your dog safe in all cases, so that if something like a seizure happens to your dog, you can exclude them being poisoned. There are enough bad things that can happen to our animals. We don't need to add to that.
Yeah, we don't need to help.
No, we don't.
I know that locally, Richmond SPCA does the Red Cross classes. You can take them there.
Oh, that's right. I think I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to be taking that sometime this year, and we'll talk a little bit more about it when I do.
Because I bought the book at one of the dog events and talked to them, and I had planned, my intention was to take it.
Right. I know.
And best intentions, I didn't get there yet, but I want to take the full course because the book is good reference,
right.
But some hands-on, some question and answer time
is really
important.
It's so cool to be able to, because they have doggy dummies, and not talking about us.
You saw the look on my face.
I did. the practice
resuscitator
dummy.
Those spots.
That.
Yeah.
So you can practice doggy CPR.
That's
and
cool.
Such.
So that would be neat.
And they teach you how to do the breathing in and out of the doggy nose to get them breathing again. It's just fabulous stuff. So more on that later, you guys. But just keep the dog safe and be aware that so many of the things that afflict human beings also afflict our animals.
Yeah.
And seizure disorders are just an example. That's it. That's what I've got.
All right. Well, that's a good episode.
All right, guys. Later.
We'll see ya.